You need to understand there was a shift in the atmosphere maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, and God's done. He's done with foolishness. You're either holy or you're not holy. You're either living for God or you're living for the devil. God is really finished with this church. I don't know what he's doing in other churches because it's none of my business. Excuse me. But you're going to have to make a decision. If you still can, I'm either going to be holy or I'm just going to go the way of the world. And really, the people that left the churches, when you read their testimony, they were just tired of being holy. They were tired of hearing that God's going to do this, and they never saw it done. And so they just decided to go in the way of the world. They figured that God wasn't real and the Bible wasn't real. And this is where the great deception is coming in. At the end of the ages, when we're working for Jesus Christ to come back, people are being deceived into believing a lie and not the truth. And God has said that few will find that narrow path. And as I've been in the ministry all these years, I find out that very few really do walk that narrow path that God wants us to walk on. I don't know why it's hard, because it really isn't hard. It's just dying to your flesh that's gotten you in a lot of trouble all your life. And I know I haven't been where you guys were at. God has supernaturally kept me from all that sin nature. But I do know there's a way of escape, because it tells you that in your word. And I do know that the only way you're going to make it is if you totally and completely die out to your flesh and hang on to God with everything that you have. And, you know, God wants to bless. You know, I walked under the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all my life. I didn't know the word, even though I read it. And I never realized walking under the blessings, because I could go on and on about that. And then the day that God told me, now you're under the curse. And somebody asked me, what did you do to get under the curse? I said, I didn't do nothing. But I've been seeking God's face about that. And he asked me, you know, to get married the second time. And he says, because of the sin that was around you, then the curse came. Even though he asked me to do it, I had to go through. He was teaching me what perversion was all about. And so I had to pay a price. I went under the curse. And I'm asking God, how long is this going to go on? And he hasn't answered me. But, you know, sometimes when God gives you an assignment, there's really a deep price to pay. And even after I was married a month and I realized what I had married into, I said, God, why didn't you tell me this? He said, because you would have never married. He said, at that point, you would have never, ever married if I'd revealed to you what you had to go through. And I needed you to go through this to save this soul. So what I went through was to save one soul, you know, in that assignment. And it wasn't pretty, but that soul's in heaven today. And in God's eyes, that's all that matters. He takes care of you, you know, whoever you are that he gives an assignment to. But I hope that nobody sitting in here says, excuse me, well, God told me to do it, because you really don't want to do that. If he didn't tell you to do it, you really don't want to do that. It's bad enough when you obey his voice and do what he tells you to do. So, all right, so whenever I went under the curse, I aged 20 years overnight. You know, in my DNA and everything, because we happen to have a doctor who came to the church, and she checked me out, and she said, I can't believe you're 55 and you have the DNA of a 30-year-old. But whenever the curse came, I aged. Everything in my life changed, and it's not a pretty thing. You know, guys, you're going to have to pay a price. If you're really going to follow God, you're going to have to pay a price. And you know, like this morning when he was talking about offense, God reminded me going home that Jesus offended everybody every place he went. So, and who did he offend? The Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious bunch, the ones that weren't walking in the Spirit. And there's so much deepness right now that God wants to take us into. But are you willing to go into it? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to sacrifice? You know, these are questions that God has before the body of Christ right now. And you might call it gloom, doom, and despair, but I call it making heaven your home. The truth will set you free. And we want freedom, right? All right, let's go ahead and read this Dutch and Tim Sheets here. They say America's recent election has been called historic numerous times. When something significant, all right, I'm going to stop there. Somebody said they don't like our new president because he's racist. And I hear that all the time. And I took it before the Lord. He said, my son is not racist. He said, this is a demonic thing that's been sent out there to set the people against President Trump. He is not racist. I went to God and asked him, and he told me so. You go to God and you ask God instead of believing everything you're hearing. You know, the enemy does not want the truth to be in the light in the White House, and he's going to tell every lie he can to keep the truth out of the White House. All right. All right, so America's recent election has been called historic numerous times. When something significant happens in the natural realm, one must also pay attention to what is concurrently taking place spiritually. A shift has taken place, resulting in an open heaven over our nation, all right, and causing a different anointing to flow from the Holy Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you already know that, right? He is anointing new assignments. The possibility of great turnaround is before us and must be stewarded by the church. We must continue to be watchmen on the wall, offering up wise prayers to implement the right changes. When I asked the Lord what the next step for the church should be, he said, it is now time for my church to embrace and live in a higher authority mindset, one that stewards wisely the principles I have revealed. Isn't that what God's been trying to do to us in these praise and worship services? That's why we're having long praise and worship service, because God is trying to get us up into the heavenly realm where he can change us totally and completely. A kingdom mindset declares seemingly impossible changes A kingdom mindset declares seemingly impossible changes that overcome hell's strategies. We have been anointed to steward this season and finish well. We should be pleased and joyful while also remaining vigilant. And God says we have to be joyful. That's why he has all the happy, joyful songs. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord down inside of us. And if we have that joy, the enemy cannot destroy us. All right? But we have to remain vigilant, too. We have to be seeking God's face, listening for his voice, and doing exactly what he's telling us to do. We must maintain a mentality that reflects great authority and despises complacency. We cannot let down our guard, but instead use the dominating force of the kingdom of heaven to overcome. See, right now the great falling, you know, the sowing and reaping is happening, and people are letting down their guard. They're walking in offense, and so then the enemy can come in and attack you. Understand that those whose hearts are evil will continue to reveal their evilness. They must now face a church with a different mindset, one that functions in bold kingdom authority and an ecclesia that will not back down. We have been anointed to prevail, and we will do so for our King. So it said, understand that those whose hearts are evil will continue to reveal their evilness. Those people right here we read about must now face a church with a different mindset. They're going to come into the churches trying to act like they're something they're not. You know, the enemy, he isn't finished. He's going to keep doing his evil tricks. The Lord has told us we will be in a war season through next spring. Some people are saying we're not. We are in war. And that an agitated spirit realm will stir violence in a natural realm. Let's read that again. The Lord has told us we will be in a war season through next spring, and that an agitated spirit realm will stir violence in a natural realm. However, he also said not to be shaken, Followers of Baal are now screaming, shouting, and gnashing their teeth, desperate for their Antichrist agenda to work. And what did God tell us for years? When this time that's here right now comes, there'll be great gnashing of teeth and great weeping. And here they're saying that this is what's happening. Thank God for the authority we have been given. While a new administration in our government is essential, only God can bring the reformation we need, and he uses an engaged remnant of the Ecclesiastes to accomplish his purposes. This election has revealed a growing Ecclesiastes that is active, a body of believers who will pray God's will into the national changes being made. We must continue to do so. When we pray, when I pray anymore, I just say, God, your will be done. You know, I'm not going to go to all this stuff they're talking about. Your will be done. That's the proper way to pray, because a lot of people are telling you to pray ways that aren't right. So the you can do whatever you want to do, but I feel in my spirit when I pray, Father God, your will be done, that's what's going to happen. And I don't want to stick my two cents in there. Okay, arise, church, the trumpets of war have sounded. The Lord spoke the following words to me after the election. So this is God's words. The trumpets of war have sounded from heaven. Arise, church, arise in your authority. You will find it more than enough. See, God's trying to get us to have the authority and the power of heaven through these services that we've been having. Rise and confront the forever loser with my words. As you do, he will flee from you. So rise and confront his dark kingdom, for the Lord declares a prevailing anointing now flowing will activate an attitude of heroes of faith. You know, we've been learning a lot about the courtroom. And so something just came up yesterday, and I just got mad at the devil, and I just went, I said, God, I'm just going to go to the courtroom. I want to take this person up. I want that person to be here, and I want the devil to be there too. And I said, now you judge, and you let that devil know what you're going to do. I mean, that's the only way I know to pray anymore, because it's God that has to do all this. And he's taught us about the courtroom for a reason. Go to the courtroom of heaven and state your case, all right? If you haven't done that yet, then you're missing a great tool that God has given the church. So then Tim says, the phrase attitude of heroes of faith caught my attention. Attitude means a settled way of thinking that is reflected in behavior, a mental state or character that is demonstrated. It is also an aviation term related to a plane's position and angle, enabling it to maintain stability. So God said he wants us to have an attitude of heroes of faith. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to stand on the rock and not let our feet slip off of that rock. He wants us to stand on the truth that we've heard. And you have a Bible. You can read your word, and you can ask God, show me the truth in your word. That's what we all do, right? You don't have to believe anything I say or anybody else says. Get in the word and get the truth for yourself. But be a person that really wants to hear the truth and not hear what you want to hear. The word of the Lord continues, so arise, church, as the Holy Spirit anoints your behavior and disposition to represent me in disciplined power. What kind of power? Disciplined. The Holy Spirit is anointing the true church to behave differently and walk in new directions. See, there's no confusion here. This is just what God is doing. And he told us before this ever happened that you wouldn't be able to recognize the church services because of the way he was going to rearrange them. And he said, nothing's going to be as usual. So do you believe God or you believe in your own mind? God spoke it and it's happening. Let's go with the flow and let's watch God really and truly move. And then God says, paths walked in authority towards hell's advances in government or in culture are similar to the attitudes of my heroes of faith. New paths into harvest fields are also being prepared in order to reap a worldwide harvest. New paths, not the old path. A billion soul harvest will be reaped, just as heroes of past reformations and revivals reaped the harvest of their days. I'm seeking God's face to allow us to have our revivals like we used to have, you know, the weekends or week-long ones. I started today seeking God's face. I would like to go there, Father, if you want me to. I just think that we need a change. I just think that the Lighthouse Church has become stagnant. You see the same people over and over again. You're taking God for granted. And I think we need new faces, you know, in here that have don't know what you know, that we can minister to and bring them to the place that God wants them to be. Where are we at? Arise, church, as Holy Spirit shapes your disposition to reign with me in great authority and reap my greatest harvest. For the anointing now being poured from heaven will shift attitudes, actions, and mindsets, creating heroes of faith who work for my cause. Holy Spirit's presence and anointings will affect the church very, very disposition. Church's very disposition. This will be clearly seen, bringing fear into demonic strongholds. You know, if you're paying attention when praise and worship is going on and the glory is falling in all its fullness, the demons and people start acting up. And this is what they're saying right here. And if you really, really, truly do walk in the Spirit, then you know that when them demons start acting up, God is in the house, truly in the house. And you should be praising and worshiping him with all of your heart for what he's doing in other people's lives. For now, the intimidating church will rise against hell in my breaker anointing, and my compassion will rise toward my harvest. A different behavior will be seen in my remnant warriors' attitudes and mindsets that reflect my power. Now, a different behavior will be seen in my remnant. And we're a remnant church, my remnant warriors, their attitudes and mindsets that reflect my power. In other words, you're going to act just like Jesus, and the power of Jesus is going to be in you, and great signs, wonders, and miracles are going to occur. They will not be intimidated. And if you walk in a fence, then you're already intimidated. Rather, the weight of glory resting upon them will make them intimidators of hell's kingdom. Hell should be so scared of you that the minute you walk in the room, they start trembling. Do you understand that? You know, I finally come to the realization of why I don't care if I go to a doctor, a dentist, a hairdresser, they don't like me. And then that means that whoever that is that's working with me has spirits in them, and that devil is upset because it has to be in my presence. I don't want everybody to, I've found out, I don't want everybody to smile at me and talk real nice to me, because I've got the glory of God in me, and I want every devil to tremble when he walks into the room. And that's where you should be. You should have that same mindset. You know, you should be defeating the enemy just by walking in the room and never saying anything. All right, and my glory will intimidate hell through this presence upon my church. They will behave as those carrying a great weight of my glory and authority. Are you listening here? You will behave as someone carrying a great weight of God's glory and authority. You won't go around doing stupid things, because you know that you're a child of God and that God's glory is in you, and God wants to use you to save other souls. All right, you'll be anointed to prevail. Church, behave as sons and daughters. Behave as joint heirs with me. The Lord says the world will now see the paths of my church extending into all of the earth. The direction she travels will show an aggressive resistance to hell's advances in government and cultures. Some of you, God has told you, you're going to travel the world. That means you're going to carry the glory wherever you go, and people's lives will be changed forever. The church will now be presented as anointed for spiritual war, for battle, to reign, and to bring change. They'll be anointed to work for my harvest, to reap the lost. I am anointing my church with a determined attitude to prevail and win, just as I did Gideon's 300 and David's mighty men. That's what's happening to you when you're doing praise and worship. God is anointing you higher and higher so that you do greater and greater works. God says, shift now into a prevailing mentality, prevailing behavior. A determined anointing to win will now fill my remnant. I don't believe all you have that determination to win. Check yourself. Are you determined to win? If you are, then get out of sin. You can't win anything in sin. I watch that every day in my home. Every day. And I pray for these people, but they don't want to get rid of their flesh. They will not surrender my kingdom to the governments of... Well, let's start this over again. Shift now into a prevailing mentality, prevailing behavior. A determined anointing to win will now fill my remnant. They will not surrender my kingdom to the governments of man, but will influence the governments of man with my ways. They will not surrender the spiritual weapons I've given them, but will use them. Are you using them or are you surrendering them? They will not hesitate at demonic clamor and activity. They will not relinquish their authority, their swords, or their spears. The sword of my word will swing from their mouths, empowered to demolish strongholds, scattering and shattering the enemy's plans. The sword of my word, swung by my church decrees, will be a disruptive force, confusing the plans of demonic powers. It will disrupt the followers of Baal, causing disarray from coast to coast. For you will see, even this month, says the Lord, and in the months to come, the acceleration of disarray, confusion, and bewilderment will mystify those committed to dark agendas. They will wear the yoke of their own confusion, reap their own destructive plans, and wander their paths of disillusion. Don't be part of that. I read this just so you could be warned that this is coming. I mean, I know it's coming and God's told us it's coming, but I don't think it's settled into your spirit. Maybe I see sometimes through the years I preach until I can't preach no more. And a member of the church will go to some other pastor and come back and say, oh, do you know what I heard? You've just been sitting under that for years. But because somebody else said it, see, you take, just like they took Jesus for granted, you take your pastor for granted, and you don't show them any honor. Remember, Jesus couldn't even do anything in his own hometown because they dishonored him there. Where I've lost my place. My Ecclesiastes will rise, and their attitude will reveal their trust in me. They will surrender nothing. They will not take orders from kings, potentates, governors, congressmen or women, senators, prime ministers, mayors, city councils, school boards, professors, or woke mobs. My church listens to the Holy Spirit. Their orders come from the Lord's Sabbath. They are those who stand for my cause without compromise and anointing to prevail or produce great victories. Then I said, let's finish the race and reset this nation with the spiritual authority we've been given. We need, if you haven't already, lo and behold, I hope you have, but if you haven't already committed every fiber of your being, the crown of your head to the soles of your feet to God, you need to do so tonight during praise and worship. I don't know if you still have grace. I really don't, because I'm not living your life. You are, and I don't even ask God. I don't want to know. I'm just doing what God's telling me to do the way he's telling me to do it. And you know, and if I offend you, then that means that you're unteachable under me. I can't teach you anything else. And then what you need to do is go find somebody else that doesn't offend you. Because once you get offended at a minister, at a teacher, then that means they've taught you all they can teach you. And I'm telling you because that's what God told me. So it would be better if you went ahead and went someplace else where somebody else could teach you, where you can grow in the Lord rather than sit under me and walk in offense all the time. And I'm not going to be careful how I give God's word. I'm going to give it the way God gives it. That's just the type of person I am. I do it in love, but I have to do what I have to do. Because I'm not going to stand before God one day and go to hell because of you. That's what y'all should think. Nobody in your life is worth going to hell for. You're going to stand there all by yourself on Judgment Day. You can't say, well, you know, she didn't do this and she didn't do that. No, you're being judged, not your wife, not your husband, not your kids. And so you can't say, well, I can guarantee you can't say to God, well, my kids are being really bad, which they are. I'm going to go to heaven if it's the last thing I do. And I've shown you the way to live. This is what you need to think. I've lived a life before you. I kept myself holy and pure. I loved the unlovely. I showed love where really love shouldn't have been shown. And I let you use me as a doormat until God said, you're no longer a doormat. Now stand on your feet and do what I'm telling you to do. That you have to do what God's telling you to do, no matter what it is. You have to. And Alfonso and Ruthie, you don't understand the importance of what God said to you today. You need to, if you haven't listened to it again, you really need to listen to that word, because much given, much is required. And God is requiring a lot from you too. You don't have the room to slip. Always remember that. You don't. You don't have that. You don't have room to slip, because God's called you to a high calling. I don't know where you're going to end up at, and I'm just being honest, because I'm too busy seeking God's face. What do I do next? You know, what do you want me to do? You know, and getting praise and worship things together. I'm really busy right now because I have to be about the Father's business. I have to hear His voice and His voice only. And I can't be involved in, I used to pray about, you know, each of you individually, but I don't do that. I pray for you, but I don't say, okay, what's going on in your life today? You know, there's a couple of you that God daily tells me where you're at, and you're not in a good place. But, you know, and so all that I'm supposed to do is hold you up in prayer. And if you're falling asleep right now, then that means either you didn't get enough sleep or you need to go on home, because you're not going to get anything out of the Word tonight. You know, if the Holy Spirit speaking to you is boring you, then you've got a problem. Tell it like it is. Live it like God told you to live it. Be an example to everybody. Don't be two-faced. Because God, as He tells me over and over again, they have two faces. One when they come into church and one when they leave the church. You are to be the same every second of every day. Are you understanding that? Well, are you... No, we really do have it. Aren't you glad I read that to you?
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, we need to understand where we're at. And, you know, I've known all this, but Dutch Sheets, you all love him, so you would believe what he said, right? And they put it so well, so I thought, well, when I read it, I wasn't going to give anything tonight. But God said, I want you to open up your computer, and I did write to that. And so I knew I had to give that. But now as we go to praise and worship tonight, I'm going to tell you again, give Him your all. Hold nothing back. And don't let somebody else drag you back into the pit. Don't, you know, the reason why I was put to marry my second husband was because God wanted him in heaven, and He could not find another woman that would not go to His level, who would stay pure and holy and pull him up to my level, to God's level. And that's why I had to do that. And that's a shame. You know, because there was 20 years difference in her age, and that he couldn't find any girl, women that he made, that would stay out of sin and bring him up to God's level. Just think about that. You girls, even you men, you have a high calling, and if you're walking with God, then walk with Him. If you're not, well, then don't pretend like you are, and don't come into the house of God and mess everybody else up. All right? I know we've all made mistakes in life. I'm talking about perversion-wise. I never went there, and thank God. I thank God I never went there. God just kept me, all right? I was covered all my life by a praying grandmother, and I never went into that place. But please get rid of that, and please walk holy before the Lord. You women, you sell yourself cheap. You really do. I, you know, what I see on the news, what I see on TV, I think, why do women sell themselves so cheap? You are a queen in God's eyes. Why do you let Tom, Dick, and Harry fondle you? Why do you let somebody drag you into an alley? Why do you stand up to be seen? I'm for sale. Here I am. Come and use me. Why do you do that? You are precious in God's eyes. Aren't they, Grace? Yeah, amen, she said. Aren't they, Barbara? Aren't they, Diane? Yeah, a little bit louder, please. Everybody, yeah. I mean, you know, I think my father taught me to have pride in myself. And I've always remembered that from little growing up. He says, keep yourself pure and holy. And I did. And I'm glad he told me that. And as I, you know, I wasn't always 88 years old. So I wasn't always looking like this. And I had many men wanting to take, you know, do their thing. I wasn't interested. I didn't need a man. All I needed was God. Are you understanding this, girls? Come on. You're pure and you're holy. You're special to God. And as you, when you go to praise and worship, I want you to remember that you are special. And I'll be glad when men grow up and quit being boys and want play toys. You know, and treat women like God wants them to treat them, like they're a queen. So, but if you girls wouldn't be out there spreading yourself around, the men would stop doing that, maybe. Alphonse is really enjoying this. May I say one thing? You two have a totally different atmosphere. You look free. You're relaxed and you're happy, and stay that way. Please stay that way. And you know you have to bring God into every day, and you have to keep him in your marriage, or it'll fail. But I know your marriage. God said he wanted something very special, and he said because you're a very special couple to him. So I know God has a very special assignment for you two after what God said this morning. Well, I'm going to shut up. And you girls know who you are now, right? You're not some man's play toy. He'll use you till he's tired of you and he'll go on to another toy. There's always another toy around the corner. So don't let men do that to you. Fall in love with God first. And then you really won't want another man until God sends the right one your way.